What is your picture of how biblical inspiration works? Hello, and welcome to Good Word, a program dedicated to exploring issues of faith and the Bible. This week, our discussion focuses on the Gospel of Luke. Our specific title is The Coming of Jesus. My name is Paul Dibdahl. And with me, I have two discussion partners, Daryl Bigger, a professor in the School of Theology at Walla Walla University, and Pam Kress, also a professor, but in the School of Social Work and Sociology at Walla Walla University. Thank you both for joining me today.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Paul.
So I started with that question about your picture of how biblical inspiration works. I believe that the Bible was inspired by God, and in my mind, I have an image kind of as to how that may have worked. Do either of you have an image of how that may have worked?
I don't have a visual image, but I think of someone sitting quietly in some isolated place by themselves and just having thoughts roll through their mind.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think I would be similar, Daryl. In fact, as I think about even when we use the term, I felt inspired, that's what it is. It's usually a thought, and you feel like you want to act on it. And that's how I would see the biblical inspiration as well.
I've never had experience with that, of course.
Yeah.
But the little glimpses, the times when in conversation with someone, ideas flow back and forth between us that are sort of startling, that didn't originate through some logical process in my own mind. That gives me a glimpse of what it might be like.
Mm-hmm.
But I wonder how much different from that it is for someone whose life is so oriented toward those experiences that's kind of the norm for them. They're used to this. I wouldn't know what that would be like.
Yeah.
I think it's interesting to look at the Gospel of Luke, which, as I said, is going to be our focus now for the next few months of discussions, because right at the beginning of that Gospel, the author, Luke, gives us a window into the process that went about that he went about in writing the Gospel. And those first few verses mention three sources that he consulted. He talks about the fact that others have written things that he apparently has access to. He talks about eyewitnesses. And then he talks about servants of the word, a specific category of people that were especially skilled at remembering oral communication. And then he says, I carefully investigated all of those things and decided to write an orderly account for you. That doesn't really fit my picture of biblical inspiration. I imagine someone sitting in a room, kind of darkened room. I do have a visual image, Daryl. You said you don't, but sitting in a darkened room, I imagine a feather pen and a kind of shaft of light coming from heaven and a person kind of somehow listening. Luke, it sounds to me like, wrote, it's kind of a research project.
Yeah, that's exactly what came to mind for me. And in fact, almost like a mixed methodology of qualitative. He's going out and talking to people and looking at all of the stuff, as well as the quantitative of what's already there. Let's put the data together. Mm-hmm. That's exactly how it struck me. Here's someone who's very much a researcher who's going to come down and kind of set it all down straight for us.
So any lessons we could learn about biblical inspiration from what Luke told us?
It doesn't divorce the participation of the writer, does it?
Okay.
He's very actively involved here and intending to do a careful and thorough job of this. So it wasn't that he was mystically carried off into some other realm and a hand moved his feather on the page.
Yeah.
He was intricately involved.
God apparently is able to work through people's careful sort of mental process of study and so forth. And I think I find that valuable to remember, that God can work through dreams and visions, mm-hmm. but then can also speak through people in this other mm-hmm. in this other way too. Mm-hmm.
It intrigues me too that he says he investigated all of these things, as if, I mean, why would he need to investigate them? Is he trying to sort out what's true from what's not true? Or is he simply wanting to have some personal contact so that it's only secondhand messages that he's passing mm-hmm. on? I don't know about that.
I think, for me at least, the one of the very next verses helps us with that. At least it helps me. And that he says he wanted to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, so that you may know the certainty of the things you have been taught. So it seems to me like he's working through these sources so that he'll be able to communicate in the clearest way possible mm-hmm. to his intended audience, who is named here at the beginning of the book as mm-hmm. Theophilus, mm-hmm. Apparently someone who has believed but is looking for some evidence or some confirmation mm-hmm. of what he has believed. So,
do you picture him as a historian or as a news reporter? Is he wanting to sort through all the rumors so that Theophilus will know what actually happened? Or is he simply lining things up in a logical way so that what actually happened becomes comprehensible?
Would it need to be one or the other?
Does it make a difference? Well, yeah, what it suggests to me is that if, in fact, he's sorting through the rumor mill to see which things are really accurate and which ones were stories, that what inspiration is doing at that point in time is trying to point the shaft of light mm-hmm. to the truth mm-hmm. and let all the scattered stuff fall off on mm-hmm. the edge and mm-hmm. not disorient the plot.
Interesting question, Daryl. Mm-hmm. Interesting question. I suppose that at some point we should begin to talk also about the story, because Luke chapter 1, which is our scripture focus for this week, tells about the birth of two little baby boys. Their names, John and Jesus. In both cases, the births are announced by the angel Gabriel. Angel Gabriel comes to John's father, Zechariah, and then also appears to Mary, who becomes the mother of Jesus. Both of those people, Zechariah and Mary, are shocked at the visit of Gabriel and aren't quite sure what to make of the promise of a child. Zechariah and his wife, Elizabeth, are too old to have children, and Mary isn't married. Mm-hmm. She's a virgin. So both of them ask a question. And in just a minute, I'm going to ask the two of you to compare those two questions. Zechariah asks, literally he asks, by what shall I know this? Because we're too old. Mary asks, how will this be since I'm a virgin? So what's the difference between those two questions? Do you see a significant difference between those?
I don't know that I do, but as I was thinking about mm-hmm. this particular question, they both come out of what you've already discussed as just some disbelief. Mm-hmm. We're too old to have kids, and mm-hmm. you know, I'm not even married. How am I gonna do that? So it seems like the same question almost to me, just asked two different ways. Mm-hmm.
I hear more disbelief myself in his response than I do in Mary's. In Mary's, it's more of a mystery. In his, it's skepticism.
Hmm. Okay.
At least into that.
Yeah.
Like, convince me.
Yeah, like,
this
right.
This makes no sense. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so whatever.
I'm going to push you just a little bit, maybe uh-huh. leading you at the same time. Zechariah asks, by what shall I know this? Uh-huh. Doesn't that sound like he's asking for a sign mm-hmm. somehow? Mm-hmm. By what mm-hmm. shall I know mm-hmm. this? Mm-hmm. Mary asks, how will this be? Mm-hmm. There is a difference there, isn't mm-hmm. there? One is Mary's question, it seems to me, takes as fact what Gabriel has said, but is curious the means by which it will occur.
Yeah.
And Zechariah says, give me some sort of sign that I can know that what you're saying is true. Mm-hmm. What happens next in the story? Does Zechariah get a sign?
Yes, he does. He goes speechless, right?
He can't speak. The angel says, okay, well, if you want a sign, here's one for you.
Yeah.
You won't be able to talk until the promise comes true. The angel didn't retract the promise, say, well, if you're not going to believe, then forget that. The promise still comes true for Zechariah and for his wife, Elizabeth.
Mm-hmm.
Now, time passes very, very rapidly as we go along, much more to the chapter. I'm wondering if, in our closing moments here, if there is something else from the birth narrative that seems especially significant to either of you, something that you like about that story of the birth of John, the birth of Jesus.
I love the speechlessness. It reminds me of the psalmist who says, be still and know that I'm God. There's something about being quiet that allows us to encounter the divine that in our busy, talkative lives we don't get to.
You know, I think I liked Mary's faith. In spite of the fact that she knew that it meant shame in her culture for what was about to happen and what was to go, but she never questioned that. She just let it be as it's going to be, and had just a great faith that God was going to work this out in the right way.
Yeah, I love that too. To me, Mary's words are some of the most amazing in all of Scripture. She's a young, unmarried girl. Her pregnancy, as you suggested, was going to lead to all kinds of questions, shame, certainly. And she says, I'm the Lord's servant.
Mm-hmm.
Let it be to me as you have said. Amazing faith from an amazing young woman. I'd like to close just by noting the two names that the boys are given, John and Jesus. John means the Lord is gracious, and the name Jesus means the Lord saves. In a sense, we have here a kind of summary of the rest of the book in these two names. The Lord is gracious, and the Lord saves. Thank you. Thank you, Pam and Daryl, for joining me today. Thanks also to David Olson, our program engineer. And finally, thank you for listening in. For The Good Word, I'm Paul Dibdahl.
You've been listening to Good Word, a production of the School of Theology at Walla Walla University and KGTS-FM. To order a copy of today's broadcast, you can call 509-527-2194. Thanks for listening, and we'll be here next week at this time with Good Word.